Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club.
Today in the program we have Kim Hunt Harris. She is a hybrid author who's traditionally published by Harlequin Silhouette and has also indie published her own comic mysteries. She's also published 6 books, 2 traditionally, 4 indie, working on her 5th in the Trailer Park Princess series. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you on our program.
Great to be here.
Yes. Well, tell us about your journey as a writer. How did you get started in writing all these books?
Well, I am one of the lucky people who has always known what I wanted to be when I grew up. From the time I was little and my parents would read stories to me, I had this concept in my head of books and how those came to be, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And so that's just, it's always been something that I knew about myself and was sure about what I wanted to do.
That's amazing. So from that, knowing that, then did you take in classes in college where you were
a
journalist?
Well, I took a few classes. I didn't kind of along the way and kind of continuing ed classes, any kind of course that I could be involved in. But I just thought, you just write. That's how you learn to do it. You just do it. So that's what I tried to do. So I wrote, I don't even remember how many books it was. I think I wrote 3 books before I published my first one.
How cool. And how did you get picked up by Harlequin Silhouette?
Well, I had attended a writing conference in Phoenix, and I was just thinking about that today when I was, you know, kind of preparing for this. Thinking about that experience, we flew to Phoenix, and I set up there were editors and agents there, so you could pitch your book, which I don't know if you guys have ever done that. But it's,
I haven't.
I think it might be the most terrifying experience in the world. So I went in and I had an appointment with a 10-minute appointment with this editor. And she looked like, I don't know if it was the end of the day or what, but she looked absolutely miserable to be there and seemed just colossally unimpressed with my book.
And it was
terrible experience. I remember I left and my husband and I went to this Mexican food restaurant, and I got drunk, and I'm like, forget it, I quit, which I do, you know, once a week. But from that appointment, she said, okay, there's a new editor at the house, and she's looking for new authors. She gave me her card. She said, send it to her. Wow. And I really felt like she didn't really want me to send it. She was just saying that so I wouldn't cry. But
so you wouldn't cry. I love that.
But I did send it, and that editor picked it up. And so through that painful experience, something really great came out of it. So
good for you. So pulling on your cowboy boots and, you know, strapping on is ready to go.
That's right. Cool. That's right. You have to just kind of keep plugging.
Yeah. You're going to suffer through those stressful. Sounds like I could just picture it now. It's like the scene from a movie, you know, the terror. She's got her mean glasses on and her little evil look at you as you're talking, and your little dreams are being crushed with each blink
of
her eyes.
That's it. That's it. Exactly.
Yeah, are you a writer, KJ, by any chance?
No. that's cool. Well, that sounds really exciting. And so from there, what was the name of that book that you had published through them?
Well, that book was published in March of 1999, and it was called A True Blue Texas Twosome.
Oh, cool.
Which is a bit of a, you know, of a mouthful, but it was, like I said, it was released by Harlequin Silhouette in their Intimate Moments line in 99. So, gosh, that's been... We're going on 20 years.
Wow, that's great. That was a good way to start your career. Now, that was the first thing you've ever pitched to someone and they picked it up right away?
Yes, actually it was. It was not the first thing that I submitted. I had submitted other novels just through the mail.
Right.
You know, unsolicited manuscripts that, you know, the odds are stacked against anyway. So,
yeah.
But that was my first experience with a face-to-face pitch. And it was, you know, several months later, I'm thinking that was in the fall, and then it was in the spring before I finally heard back from that editor and got the contract and everything.
That is exciting. And so that book gets published. Now, there's been a lot of time between now and then. Now, when did you decide, like, did you try other ones after that, or did you get busy
with
life?
Well, yes, I did. I actually sold another kind of the follow-up book to that first one. I had planned it as a series, you know, and I had planned 3 books. And so I sold the second book to the same editor. But then in the time that we were working on that, a second book and getting it ready, she quit to go back to grad school. And I got assigned another editor who was fantastic and really sweet, but we just couldn't seem to connect on anything. And so the third book in that series, I never sold, which was really such a kind of heartbreaking thing for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just felt like it was an incomplete story.
Do you have the rights to publish all that?
Actually, you know, that's the first book that I indie published because I wanted to, you know, that kind of unfinished work there always bugged me. And so whenever my husband kept trying to talk me into publishing on Amazon, and I didn't really take it seriously for a long time, but you know, he kept talking about it, and I thought, well, we might as well give it a try. And so I had 2 books, and, you know, of course, like a lot of writers, I have stacks of books that, you know, were rejected, they never made it, but 2 of them were particularly close to me, and the loss of that dream of, you know, having other people read it was significant, more significant to me than just the regular, you know, you have to just get back up and keep trying. Those two really kind of were blows. So whenever I started thinking about indie publishing, I thought, well, I'm going to start with those two because I want those to get out, but I had also kind of come to terms with the possibility that they might never get out.
Right.
So if it didn't work, if I didn't like it, or if I couldn't make it work, then it was the loss had already been, you know, I'd already been through that grief process, I guess.
Right, right. You mourned that loss already.
Right. So those were the 2 that I put out. And those were romance novels, both of them. So one of them was called Cowboy Sing Me Home.
Oh.
And it was the 3rd in that trilogy. And then the other one was a romantic comedy. And it was the first really funny thing I had written. And I was so proud of it, and I got such great feedback, but I just couldn't sell it. I sent it to many agents, and they loved the book. They said they thought it was hilarious, but it just wasn't right for them. And I entered it in contests, and I got great feedback, and I won contests with it, but I just couldn't sell it. And so I thought, well, I'll just put it out there. And I got great feedback from the readers on it. So it was a very fulfilling experience.
Well, that's great. That is great. And so from there, now you are writing your 5th book in the Trailer Park Princess series. Tell us about how you got the idea for the series, and maybe tell the audience a little bit about what it's about.
Okay, so Trailer Park Princess features Salem Grimes, she's just a fantastic character. She is in her late 20s. She grooms dogs by day. She has a friend named Viv who we're not really sure how old Viv is, but we're thinking 80-something. They met in their AA meeting. They're both recovering alcoholics.
Uh-huh.
And so that kind of journey plays a large part in her story. So how this series came about, I really loved the Janet Ivanovich, Stephanie Plum books.
Yep.
And I knew that I wanted to write comedy like that. I wanted to write funny. But I also wanted to be able to explore some, you know, deeper issues. And so I had this idea for this character for a long time. And so finally, after getting all these rejections and not being able to sell a 3rd book in romance, I thought, well, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to just write whatever I want to write and see what happens. Really with little hope that it was going to ever be published, because my character is, like I said, she's a recovering alcoholic. She is a Christian, and so I talk about her faith quite a bit in the book. The feedback I've gotten is that it's not heavy-handed, it's not preachy, but it is there. It's definitely there. But also, she's a bit of a mess. She has a history, of course, from when she was drinking, and some things that she had done, some mistakes that she had made, some really bad choices that she had made. And now she's in recovery, and she's trying to work her steps, and it's hard. She's coming smack up against these things that she's done. And so through the course of the story, of course, this is one facet of the story. There's also a murder to solve. But through the course of the story, she's encountering these situations where she can face her past that she has wronged. And so there's the mystery. And of course, she's the amateur detective. So as conveniently happens in amateur detective books, people just seem to die, you know, people, we have dead bodies that crop up. And so she's in these situations where she finds the body, or she's the first one to see the body, and than the new book that I'm working on. So what I have so far, I have 2 full-length novels and 2 short stories. I'm getting ready in June to release the 3rd novel. It's called The Trailer Park Princess is Caught in the Crossfire.
Mm-hmm.
And that is compliments of my, that title is compliments of my 12-year-old son.
Oh, cool.
Thought that was funny. That book is actually based around, the crime is actually a series of armed robberies that are taking place in Salem's neighborhood, and her grandmother owns a motel on the kind of the seedy side of town, and there are all these spate of robberies that are taking place, and so Salem and Viv are on the case.
Oh, that's so cool. Now tell us the names of the books. They were quite entertaining.
Okay. So we have, they're all Trailer Park Princess. We have Trailer Park Princess and the Middle Finger of Fate. Trailer Park Princess with Unsightly Bulges.
Oh, I love that one too.
And now Trailer Park Princess is Caught in the Crotchfire.
Crotchfire. See right there, that is, adds so much personality to the book. Such funny titles. I love it.
Thank you.
Now, you write comedy. Suzanne is also a comedy writer. Tell us some of the challenges you have in making sure that your novels are funny and flow in that way.
Well, the biggest challenge for me, I don't really find it hard to think of funny things that happen, but I don't want to get too into slapstick. You know, I don't want to get too formulaic, like they're in this situation and, you know, I don't want to repeat the same things.
Right.
But the biggest challenge for me is being funny, but sometimes, like I said, I'm working with these issues with alcoholism and faith, and with, you know, I don't want to disrespect someone or be insensitive at the expense of making a joke. And I am capable, I'm fully capable of doing that. So, you know, because whether I'm writing or in real life or whatever, I really have had to learn to just stop and kind of think, okay, really, is this funny or is this, could this be construed as mean? Is this going to hurt someone's feelings? And so the good thing about writing is if I write it out and then I read it back and it's not okay, you know, then I can change it.
Yes, right.
So unlike in life, you don't have that undo button.
You burn the bridge and they're like, whoops.
That was not okay. So that's the biggest challenge for me. Fortunately, my characters, Viv is, like I said, she's 80-something years old, and she can get away with saying pretty much anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Salem is more the type where she kind of has this acerbic personality. You know, it's kind of easy. And then plus, I just keep making mean things happen to her.
Me. The next thing I want to know is, you describe on your website that your writing method is like a jigsaw puzzle. Tell us with that, how you do that.
Exactly. So usually when I start a project, I know how it begins and I know how it ends. And so I kind of think of those as like the border pieces. You know, when you start a jigsaw puzzle, you still look for all the flat pieces because you know that's a border. And so I think of that as the border pieces. And then I might know 1 or 2 more scenes into the book, but then I don't know what comes after that. So I write what I know, and then I know at some point in the book I want this to happen to them. Like, I know there's going to be a shootout somewhere. I know that I want these 2 characters to be together in a confined area, something like that.
Right.
And so I don't know when that's going to happen, and I don't know how I'm going to get them there, but I go ahead and write that.
Oh, cool.
And so I have these scenes that are kind of disjointed, and I don't know how they fit together yet, but I just keep going with that as long as I possibly can. And so then I end up with 20 scenes that are disjointed, and I don't know how they fit together. And I'm kind of having a little bit clearer picture, but it's at a certain point, it gets to where it just feels like a big, messy house of cards that I'm not sure how it goes together. And at that point, I stop and I kind of, you know, lay them out all on index cards. Or I've started using Scrivener with this book, which has been a big help.
Cool.
But I kind of lay them out and see how they fit together and rearrange. And then I do a revision of, you know, I print up a hard copy and I read through and I make notes on every single page of, you know, what needs to happen in between these things to link these together. And so it's a messy process, but it works for me.
Yeah.
It takes a while, but it works for me. And I end up like the 2nd or 3rd time through of doing that and rearranging scenes and kind of smoothing
to be, add to your comment, that's not that similar dissimilar to what I do, to be honest with you. I write in a very similar way. And that's the way that you describe it with the puzzle piece, that is actually a very good way of thinking about it. Except instead of cards, I have these huge A pieces of paper pinned to my wall with scenes that, like you, that I've written that I know are going to go in there somewhere, but I haven't quite joined the dots yet. Right. Suddenly I'll get a scene that I know is going to go in there, and I'm not sure where, but I know it's going to be. And so I totally get that. That works for me too. Exactly what
I read an interview with Diana Gabaldon many years ago, and that's the way she writes. And I thought, I hadn't planned to write that way. But whenever I heard that she did that, I thought, well, okay, if it works for her, then it will work for me.
That is exactly what happened to me. Oh, my gosh. We're like twins.
She talked about this in her interview. That's really funny.
Yes. My interview went up today, and it's exactly that she, because I read it in Outlandish Companion, which is one of her books that, you know, describes how she's written the books. And that's exactly what she said. I thought, well, shoot, if she can do it, so can I. And then you and I, like, started the same way. That's crazy.
That's so funny.
That is. I love that.
KJ recently made the decision to do a short story like you have. Tell us what made you decide to mix in short stories with your longer novels.
Well, I think originally I made the decision because I wanted to have more titles. I didn't, and I'm kind of a slow writer. And so I wanted to have more titles out there with those characters. And so that was the original motivation for that. Since the first one, I have found that it's a really great it's kind of a marketing tool, but it's also, I wanted to give my readers something for free, and I wanted to give some little bonus prize. And so what I thought I would do, I wrote a short story and made it free to anyone who subscribes to my newsletter. And that's been a really great thing. And they're kind of, it's the same characters, it's the same situations, but the crimes, so to speak, are more light. Like, one of them is about a dog napping. There's this poor woman, or cleaning lady, has kidnapped her dog and holding her for ransom. And that was actually based on, I don't know if I said this at the beginning, but Salem is a dog groomer because in a former career, I was a dog groomer. We actually had a client whose cleaning lady stole her Maltese and who was holding her for ransom.
Oh, my goodness.
And so even then, I thought, okay, that's going in a book.
Yeah, right.
So
people are so weird, man.
This story. And then in the story that I offered for my newsletter subscribers, it's a stolen football from a winning Super Bowl game. And so it's obviously more lighthearted, and it's just a little something to kind of bridge the gap in between novels. But I'll tell you, just with this book that I was writing. So I had the second full-length novel. I'm working on the third one. And about 75% of the way through the third book, I realized that I had really left open, I had left some threads dangling from the last book that I didn't close up, and I didn't address them in the third book. And that really kind of made me panic because I was nearing the end of the story and I didn't know how I was going to work that in. I didn't know what to do with it. At the end of the second book, Salem has this, she's supposed to get like a crime solver reward money. And she solved the crime, so she deserves the money. And then there's a character that I got rid of. He doesn't appear in the third book, but I didn't say where he went. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I've got $10,000 and I've got this character that I've got to get rid of, and I don't know what to do with them. And so I finally decided, okay, I'm going to write a short story for In Between. It may end up being a novella. I'm working on it right now. But so In Between the second book and the third book. And I was kind of panicked. I was full out panicking because I didn't know. I knew the readers were going to want to know. They were going to want to know what happened to these characters and why is she broke again when she just had reward money. And so I sat down and I worked out a story for that, and it's really come together. I'm enjoying writing it a lot. It's been a lot of fun. And I think I'm going to offer that also to my newsletter subscribers. So the people who notice that these things are kind of still hanging out there and unresolved, I'll have that for them to answer that question, and it'll be, something really entertaining and fun to read too.
So that's how, so it kind of works, is that they sign up for your newsletter and then you send them more than one or just one story? How does that work?
I don't have the second one up yet. I've only had the first one. So, but when they get the confirmation that they're signed up for the newsletter, then they get a link to a web page where the story is.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, that makes sense. And you find that's very successful for sort of getting a list?
It's helped. It's really helped. And I don't have, you know, hundreds of new signups, but I do have some, and it's something for me to advertise, and it's something that I can give away that is of value to the people who like the series. So
that's great. So sort of moving on, so this actually segues nicely into like social media and how do we get our books out there. What sort of things are you doing on social media? What sort of, do you have challenges with that? Or
it's definitely not something that I feel completely savvy in. I found that my readers are mostly on Facebook, which is good because I'm mostly on Facebook too, and I understand Facebook, and I enjoy using it. So I've been able to build a base on Facebook. I do tweet, but that has been a little bit more of a challenge to me. Mostly what I tweet are, you know, books that I have read that I really like, something funny or something positive or uplifting that I tweet. And then I tweet if I have a sale going on or if I have a new something. I try to post scenes from works in progress occasionally just to give people a preview because I like to get the feedback. You know, it's encouraging to get the feedback and just give them a preview of what's to come. So I post scenes or, you know, parts of scenes every once in a while on Facebook. But that's the extent so far of my social media.
What's challenging for you with Twitter? Is it just, obviously you feel real comfortable in Facebook. Is it just the fact that it's so big and spread out, or what is
Well, for one thing, I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter. It seems like most everything I see from other writers, it's just different versions of buy my book. And I don't necessarily want to do that. I mean, I'm not opposed to saying buy my book by any means because I want people to buy my book. But I don't want to just be barraging people with these constant messages all the time. And so I want to form a relationship with the people who want to read my books, and I want to hear what else they like to read. So that's my goal, is to be putting out things that someone else wants to see to begin with. And then doing that in that short 140 characters is a bit of a challenge. So,
yeah.
But it's, you know, Twitter's great, but it moves so fast.
Yeah,
it does move so fast, and you kind of have to stay on it. And that's been my challenge, is to, you know, I kind of forget it's there, and then I log back in and
a month has gone by.
Yeah, exactly. Thousands and thousands and thousands of tweets have gone by, and so. Millions probably, you know, but it's fun. It's fun to do. It's fun to, I'm following writers that I admire, you know, and so it's really cool to see what they tweet and see what's going on with them too. So.
Oh,
yeah, that's cool.
So tell us, what are you working on right now?
So right now I have that short story that I was talking about, and then I'm doing revisions on the Caught in the Crotch Fire book. It's finished, but I'm polishing it now and kind of doing, like you're talking about, connecting all those little dots and smoothing it out and, you know, giving the read through. And then, of course, it'll have to go through editing and proofreading and all that. So that'll be coming out in late June, at the end of June. And it's a really great book. It's been so much fun. I mean, if I may say.
you have to start with us. If we don't enjoy it, then our audience never is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been just, each book is kind of an amazing experience because there's always this kind of roller coaster. You start out with all these high hopes, and then you're in that kind of burning passion where you're writing and writing and writing and getting a lot of things done. And then, like I said, when I get to that point where I have so many scenes and it feels like it's just an unholy mess that it will never make sense. And that's when I stare at the ceiling and I think about how I don't have any talent, and this I've been delusional all this time, of course, you know. And then, you know, you just keep plugging away. I tell myself, just keep plugging away. And so in the course of writing this book, or maybe the last one, when I was going through that again, and I kind of finally recognized, you know, you do this every time. Every time you write a book, you get to this you think you're not going to be able to do it. And so with this book, when I got to that point, I thought, just keep your head down and keep going. You'll think of something. And so I'm finally learning to relax and just know that this is my process and it will work out, and I will think of something and I'll figure it out, you know. And so it's been fun to, I've finally kind of been able to let go of some of that neurosis from from previous books.
So what book are you on that you managed to get rid of the neurosis? From book 1-6, is that?
Well, you know what? I honestly cannot remember how many I've written total because this is,
because I still have the neurosis. I'm like, I just was there a month ago going, I'm never going to finish this book.
It's just a mess. It doesn't even make sense. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, cool. Well, that's great.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Now, I have to say, I think every writer I know gets to that point of the book. Suzanne and I were talking about this the other day. You know, you've looked at it so much, and you've dissected it and reassembled it, and by the time you're a certain point in the novel, you absolutely freaking hate it, you know? And then
really hate it. I was going to say, particularly with comedy, you write comedy like I write comedy, and the first time round, the joke's funny. The 76th time round, it isn't funny anymore.
Yeah,
exactly. So you're like, oh my gosh, is this even funny anymore?
Yeah.
AJ, that when I wrote my first book, I didn't think it was funny, and so I sent it to somebody just because I was going to throw it away. But it's because I'd read it so much, it wasn't funny anymore to me, you know?
Exactly.
Right, and now let me just add a little note. That note is an international best-selling book, so...
the one I was going to throw in the trash. But it's true, comedy is that's why I think comedy is hard. Because you need the rhythm, and you're not just writing a story, you have to make the characters funny, and then after, 6 months, they're not funny anymore. So it can be a challenge for a
Right,
summer.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I know what you mean. So the other day, I was reading back one of my scenes and making notes on it, and I laughed at one of my own jokes, and I thought, okay, is that good, or is that just lame? Is that really sad? And I asked my son, who's 13 now, and he said, well, it's kind of both.
Oh, my God.
But I'll take that.
Yeah. Well, if he sees...
I think you're laughing at your jokes. I actually cried at a scene laughing like that. That's good. It was a scene I was meant to cry at, put it that way. But it was like, that's good, because they say, emotion in the writer, emotion in the reader.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Kim, let's lightning round you, man.
I'm ready.
Okay. What is your favorite band or artist?
I'm going to say George Winston.
Oh, good.
Piano player.
Left coast or right coast? You're kind of dead center.
Oh, I'm in the middle, but as far as where I would like to travel, definitely East Coast.
There you go. What is your favorite writing spot?
Oh, my gosh. I think at the library. I like to be around people,
cute.
But not talking to anyone. it's quiet there, but it's anywhere but home, usually. Because there's laundry to do here.
Yes. There's all kinds of things tapping you on the shoulder as you're writing. Yes, I know. Okay. Are you a pantser or a plotter? You're a puzzler. We should pick a new
guy. Yeah, I'm a puzzler. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm kind of in the middle there.
Oh, that's cool. If you could be transported back in time, where would you go?
You know, I would love to meet Sherlock Holmes. I mean, we're talking about something that's not possible. So it's okay to meet a fictional character, right?
Right.
Well, sure.
For a minute, I was worried that you didn't know that. And I was like, oh, that's really burst her bubble right here.
That's funny.
If we're going to fantasize, let's just go all out. I would love to go back to the late 1800s and meet Sherlock Holmes and John Watson. And
maybe the real writer of that. I wonder what he would have been like.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. My dad and stepmom listen to the old time radio with a lot of Sherlock Holmes. I've spent a lot of hours listening to. It's good stuff, man. Talk about suspense. You can learn a lot from those. If you had a superpower, what would you want it to be?
You know what? I think I would love to be Elastigirl. I think about that all the time. Oh my gosh, if I could be Elastigirl, I could just reach that.
Oh, that's hilarious. Are you short?
I'm 5'5". I'm right in the average. I have to tell you, though, if it's okay to quote someone else on this,
sure.
I was watching Live with Kelly Ripa, and anyway, they're interviewing Superman, the guy who plays Superman now, and they were talking about that, and she said, they were talking about being able to fly or being invisible or, super strength or whatever. She said, I would like to be able to eat carbs.
That is an excellent superpower.
I would take that.
Can we have eat whatever you want and be whatever size you want? I would take that.
Yeah, we all want that one.
Oh man, think of that. You could have pizza and donuts and ice cream whenever you felt like it.
Every day.
Oh my goodness. That is an excellent superpower. That is definitely the chick version
of favorite so far.
Me too, that's awesome. Who or what inspires you?
Other writers always do. I love to hear stories. I don't know if you've ever heard Debbie Macomber's story, and I don't think I can do it justice, but she really, really struggled at first, and she had some heartbreaking stories of rejections and some, really rude contacts with some people, and she kept she kept on plugging. And so I think of her a lot when I, you know, when I think about when I'm dragging myself out of bed early in the morning to get writing done, or you know, staying up late to try to get my words done. I think about her and how successful she is now. And so I've never met her. I've seen her at some conferences, but I've never forgotten the story that I read about her. Whenever she was talking about when her children were young and she really had to struggle to enter a contest. You know, she had to scrape the money together and take it out of the grocery budget to enter her book into a contest. And then she got really bad feedback on it. And it was a crushing experience for her. But she kept going. She just kept moving on. And, you know, now, of course, she's really glad she did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, stories like that of people who just kept going and kept going through all the trials. That's what keeps me going.
That's good. Which book do you wish you had written?
Oh, my gosh, Outlander.
Me too.
Think about that. Outlander.
That is so cool. See, that's exactly what I said too. You need to listen to my interview because I think we might be partly the same person.
Soul sisters, baby.
Soul sisters, that's right.
I have to tell you that conference that I went to in Phoenix that I talked about where I pitched the book to the editor from Harlequin. We went to Phoenix because Diana Gabaldon was going to be there. And then having the editor appointment was just kind of it was kind of my excuse for flying to Phoenix.
She gave you good juju then.
She was there and she was speaking and my husband went with me. And okay, so when it came time to meet her, she was signing her books and I could go up and get a book signed. I was terrified and I couldn't do it.
Oh,
I couldn't.
No.
It was like looking at the sun. I couldn't look directly at her. And so it was in this hotel where they had big potted plants, you know, and I just hid behind the plant and stared at her.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious.
You should write to her and tell her that now. She couldn't get
I should. And then I ended up, you know, a few years after that, I had attended another conference with her and I was actually in the elevator with her. So I'm, you know, made eye contact and I spoke to her and I've never forgotten that.
What'd you say to her?
I had gone all the way to Phoenix. And then my husband's like, you've got to go meet her. I'm like, oh, I can't. So he went and got a book signed for me and gave it to me. But she's, you know, she just to me is just such a fantastic, amazing, amazing writer.
She is. She definitely is. I agree 100%. All right. What is your favorite writing/author moment so far?
I'm kind of torn there because there are a couple. And I don't know that I can just say one moment, but
yeah.
The times whenever I have no clue what's going to happen. When I have no clue and I'm anxious and I'm swirling around in this neurotic fever. I don't know what to do. And then I get an idea. And it's just like magic. That feels like a magical thing.
Cool.
Something just comes to you. So there's that. I love those moments. I mean, the longer I write, the more I fall in love with just the whole process of it. And so anytime I can write, I'm happy. But those moments are the best.
That's
and then
great.
As far as kind of more like under the author category, whenever people, you know, send me an email or post on my Facebook that they love my books and they're not related to me, they don't know me.
Because moms don't count.
That's just, you know, that is, it's just thrilling. It's thrilling.
Yeah.
So those two.
So everybody go read Kim's books and then send her an email. You'll make her whole
exactly
day. Make a day.
Yeah. I will be doing the happy dance, I promise.
That's cool. Okay, last question. One thing you wish you'd been told about being a writer.
Oh, I can't think of anything because because
what about social media or Twitter?
Social media would be good. It would be good to have taken a class in that. The thing is, the talk about the life of a writer can be very discouraging because people will tell you, hear all these really discouraging stories of years of rejection. And so, you know, that's kind of all true.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody can really communicate how satisfying it is just the writing in its own right.
Mm.
You know, outside of publishing, I've always wanted to be published. I've always wanted to make my living writing. And that's always been my goal. But just the very act of writing, I didn't know how satisfying that in itself could be until I had been in it for years and learned to weather all the storms associated with publishing.
Good. Well, that's great. It sounds like you're doing exactly what you love, which a lot of people never even figure out what they like to do. So
Exactly. Exactly.
Good job. Well, this has been a great interview. I've really enjoyed getting to know you. It's been fun hanging out with you.
It has been fun. You guys are great. So,
we enjoyed that.
My weird microphone. But
now we've got some great stuff for our blooper reel. We're excited about it. It was the worst once you suddenly go off on a cliff and you go, the most important thing is, and then it would go down.
I know. Did it like five
and
times.
The secret of life is.
Dang it. Where'd you go? Very cool. Well, thank you for joining us, Kim. This has been loads of fun, and we've told you though.
I appreciate it.
Please join us next week where we welcome Amy Quick Parrish. She is a Spanish teacher and also a screenwriter and a web series producer, and has turned that web series into a book series. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.